Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for July 18th. I apologize for anyone trying to tune in live. We did have some technical issues, so we're running a little bit late here. But we're here as always. I'm Taryn Armstrong, your host. And today I have brought you a great guest with great facial hair. It's John Kraus from Team Robot. How you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty good, but these technical difficulties, I don't know who did them. I heard it was Ramses.
It was definitely Ramses. We can all agree that Ramses screwed us over and caused all the technical difficulties. Right, Alex?
Sure, yeah. If it wasn't you.
Yes, also joined by Alex Bidwell, who is... are you trying to insinuate that I am Ramses?
I just think you're the ghost in the machine. Isn't that what we've been saying?
A ghost and a machine. Oh, my. Am I going to start talking to Jessica on a wall?
Oh, I think that job has been filled.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. All right. We're here to talk to you about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday and fill you in, keep you updated. So let's get right into it. First, we had Alex and Jason talking more about Kevin. We know we joked about Kevin blaming Ramses, but that excuse is not working anymore. And they seem to be on to Kevin quite thoroughly. They're not happy with what Kevin's doing, John.
No, but honestly, I think that yesterday kind of ended up being better for Kevin in the long run. There was a lot of stuff that happened yesterday. So I know that his game was kind of getting blown up right around the time that the big Mark and Josh fight happened, right? So yeah, Kevin may end up being pretty okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like he's lost the trust of Alex and Jason. They still like him. They still feel like we're going to work with him, but I don't know. And Alex has also at one point during the day said to the cameras, I'm going to take Kevin out. He's the betrayer. He's the tempter. She didn't actually say that. I'm ad-libbing.
Right. I know that Alex and Jason have had like discussions about who they're going after next. And they've talked about going after Kevin and Ramses and like Jess and Josh, all these J names. And so, I guess that's, which is like, why are you doing that? I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like all of those people, but don't go after them.
Lucas asked, why is Alex onto Kevin, but not Paul? I do think that she is a little bit onto Paul. She's saying like, are Paul and Kevin working together? Should we be trusting Paul 100%? But this whole friendship thing, she really feels like if he has friendship, he can't possibly lie. And Alex, your namesake, do you feel like you, as another Alex, do you also feel like Paul can't lie?
Speaker of all Alexes.
No. We talked about this yesterday. It's just a line. It's just a line. It's like, love means never having to say you're sorry. It's just the same nonsense. Friendship means, I guess, whatever you want it to mean. But if you're going to go ahead and interpret that it means something for Paul that it doesn't mean, then you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. It's a really convenient way to be like, well, we've got friendship. And then it's like, well, I never said that was an alliance. I never said that was going to protect you. That was just friendship. Like, it's a nice way to sound like you're never going to, because why would you vote for your best friend? But at the same time, it doesn't mean alliance or final two or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Pissed? Friendship. Party of one. Sorry.
Yeah, at the same time, though, this is the kind of thing that people will hold against you in the end. If Alex gets to the jury part of the game and Paul is in the final two and Alex is like, you're supposedly all about friendship, but then you betrayed me and now your fans hate you. So why would I vote for you? I can see that happening. So they actually briefly considered putting Kevin up on the block as a replacement. But not too seriously. They ultimately don't use the veto here. And during the veto ceremony, Dominique tried to call some people out. She tried to name a couple names, but again, it fell pretty flat because she continued to speak in riddles and nobody really understood what was going on, John.
Dominique is a really interesting person. Going into the season, when I did my little preseason like cast assessment thing, I said that I didn't have super high hopes for her. Because she, in her preseason interviews, talked a lot about her religion and a lot about Jesus. And all of that's wonderful. But we have a history of people in Big Brother who are very religious, not being very good at the game. And then coming into the game, I was very, very impressed. My stock on her went way up for a while. She was like my number one pick to win. She definitely is someone who has a good read on the house, maybe some of the best reads on the house. But what we've seen this week is that just because you have a good read on the house doesn't necessarily mean that you know what to do with it or how to articulate things best, because her default is to go back to religion. She's been talking all week and certainly yesterday about Paul's a snake, and in the Bible, snakes are like this, and God is telling her in code to do these things. And, you know, that may work in her real life, depending on, you know, her community or whatever, but that's not really working in the Big Brother house, and it's not helping when she's already been alienated.
And a lot of her frustration seems to, you know, in her, you know, anger at the situation really seems to stem from this idea that, like, her team betrayed her. I mean, you know, the word team has come up a lot this week. And it's a little frustrating for those of us that, you know, have been through the ringer with the show and know it to be an individual game from day one to day one. There is no teams except last year because they made us have teams for some reason. But
I forgot about that.
How quickly we forget. Big sister.
Big sister.
Yeah, no. But like, I just, you know, I think it's telling that she was playing for the team, and you shouldn't be doing that. And I think she got too complacent with this idea that she had a team backing her up, and that like allowed her to feel like she could get, you know, kind of do what she wanted with these interviews. And I mean, yeah, it's just really, you know, she even said something about how there were like organic teams that developed in that interview segment, which is really what sets Paul off. Yeah, it's just like there's just some element to her fundamental understanding of like this game and how it works that doesn't seem to be there, because she's like very, very, like she still just can't get over this idea that her team betrayed her.
Well, we know that she has watched the show before. Like, she's one of the people that's not a complete recruit. She's talked about other seasons, but maybe she hasn't seen, like, maybe the seasons that she's seen have been all the ones where there were clear sides and were clear teams or even pre-set up teams. So maybe that's just, you know, she's got a limited understanding of what's possible.
Freakazoids.
I forgot.
She isn't able to articulate what she needs to articulate. And she even said to somebody yesterday, I forget who it was, that, you know, it doesn't even make sense to her how she feels in regards to, you know, God telling her that Paul is the betrayer.
Right.
So she can't expect anybody else to understand. And I mean, that's perfectly fine in the outside world, but in the Big Brother house, you need to be able to get other people to understand or you'll be sent home. So that's Dominique's, you know, situation right now. It seems as though there's not much that's going to stop her from going home right now. Jessica, on the other hand, still on the block, but has been making some attempts to reintegrate herself back into the house. She even specifically went up to Elena and Raven, her previous allies and friends, and like made an attempt to reconcile, like, hey, guys, I still love you. You know, I'm still with you guys. She really made an attempt here. Are you liking what you're seeing from Jessica, John?
You know what? I am. She's nowhere. You know, she's not a perfect player, but I don't think that we really can expect that from her at this point. And I do appreciate the effort. And I think that she made some headway last night. She was involved, and I don't know in terms of safe for work how much we're going to talk about this, but there was a very long discussion last night about what do I even say, like hair care and feminine beauty secrets. And it was very funny and awkward to watch on the feeds, but like she started that, and depending on your opinion on it, but people loved it. People were laughing. The entire house was involved in it. Like, she does have the ability to sort of gather people around and get people laughing. And there is some headway being made there. But then at the same time, she still puts her foot in her mouth a lot. There was during the big Cody Mark fight that happened during the afternoon yesterday, she kind of just butted her way into that and then ended up having Josh yell at her for a while, even though I think she was trying to help Josh. And so that didn't end up garnering her any goodwill either. So she's making headway.
Yeah. It's being pointed out in the chat, you know, is Cody coming back going to be her kryptonite here? Like, Cody coming back is just not, it's not going to be good for her. She's starting to make headway. Nobody wants to use an HOH to take her out. Yet, it's not like people don't respect her. It's not as though they're like, oh, she's such a joke. They just feel like she's a waste because she's alone. But being alone doesn't mean people don't respect you. So I think she can still make it to the end and win the game, even though she is also somebody that nobody feels like they need to waste an HOH on, which is a great spot to be in. But if Cody comes back, that puts her right back in the spotlight, and she could easily get clipped off yet again. So she should really be hoping that that Cody does not win this by this is a battle back, I should say, right, Alex?
Yeah, and I gotta say, I'm kind of mad at myself a little bit because, you know, the Big Brother house is like 10, 15 minutes away. And I think, you know, we did a pretty good job of sussing out. It would probably happen on Sunday, this Cameron versus Cody. And I feel like I could have driven over there and like listened for some victim noises to see, you know, like what really went down. So I'm a little disappointed in myself. I should have stepped my game up there.
I hear that the well-trained ear can hear victim noises from up to 2 miles away.
Especially if they're made from Cody, you know, I can just picture now, like, this kid, he was evicted night one. What is he doing here? This is the deck is stacked so against me. It wasn't fair. I was supposed to win the battle back. They were supposed to evict girls so I could beat them. What is Cameron? What is Malcolm doing?
Screw
here?
You, Malcolm.
Yeah. So, Jessica should really be hoping that Cody doesn't come back here. I feel like I want Malcolm to come back. I want our Cameron. I feel like that'll be the most interesting. But let's talk about Picklegate, Pickle Juice Gate, whatever you want to call it. Pickle juice, hot sauce, whatever. Basically, you know, we talked about it on the round table, but if you didn't listen, basically what happens is Josh and Mark are playing pool. And they have this bet going, and this has been a bet that they've done before where the loser needs to drink pickle juice. This time it's pickle juice mixed with hot sauce. And Josh, he ultimately gets all of his balls into the holes, but he double taps on the last one, which means he scratches. Everybody agrees he double taps. Josh is like, whoa, 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 Mark double taps all the time. I won this. I am the winner. And Mark is having none of this. Mark, as we know, is a very emotional guy. And he takes the pickle juice and hot sauce and he just throws it in Josh's face. Great feed moment. even though, you know, hot sauce in the face, definitely not cool. Right, John?
You know what? Let me say this. I've got a lot of opinions about every aspect of this. But first of all, why is drinking pickle juice like a punishment? I mean, I'm not saying that you need to love pickle juice, but that's basically what Gatorade is. Like Gatorade is like 90% pickle juice. It's the same thing.
What?
It is. Look it up. Gatorade is based on pickle juice. And then
buddy of mine drinks pickle juice every single day.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes in it. It's good for you. And then they keep saying hot sauce like it's some sort of like Carolina Reaper. But it was like Frank's hot sauce, which is vinegar based. Like it's 90% vinegar. I mean, I wouldn't want it in my eyes. But like this is a crappy punishment to begin with. And they were both acting pretty childish. I mean, I guess I wouldn't want anything thrown in my eyes. But the whole thing, I just feel bad for Alex because they use her condiments to make this. And then Josh retaliated with a bunch of dressings. I think maybe some ketchup and mustard and maybe ranch dressing or something. And I think a lot of those were Alex's condiments, too. So I think she's the real victim here.
Yeah, I think it might have been ketchup and mayo, which, you know, at that point, I think you're dabbling into secret sauce territory.
Right. We're getting into the Mormon secret sauce. Absolutely.
Yes, so this really blew up. Josh was very upset about it. He Christmas tried to cool him down a little bit, but ultimately he was just like, I have no respect for Mark. Mark tries to apologize. He says, I'm not accepting your apology. I have no respect for you. You lost a friend. This is it. We're done. And then it eventually escalates again even further to Josh saying to Mark, you know, you're a backstabber anyway. You were plotting against Paul. We all know it. And that got into a huge thing. And then as John mentioned earlier, Jessica gets involved at one point. You know, she just butts in and Josh immediately goes off on her like, oh, who are you to talk? You're a liar, too. You're a liar and a backstabber, too. And she's calling him a liar because he lied about the Jillian vote. And man, it was a mess. And Josh afterward is feeling awful about it. He's like, oh, God, what did I do? I did it again. Why did I do this? This is just Josh, right? Like he blows up, he feels bad, he wants to reintegrate, and then he blows up again. It's just this wonderful cycle. As somebody mentioned to me earlier, Rob Sesternino was completely right. Josh is everything that he wanted him to be. Right, John?
Yeah, it just kind of took us a few weeks to get to where we want. And the great thing is that I think we're going to have Josh for at least a few more weeks in all of this. When I was watching it, and I was so happy to catch it, too. I do watch a lot of the feeds, but I never catch anything, like, juicy. I never catch anything that ends up being on the show or being important. And when I was watching this, I was like, oh, my God, this is actually going to be important. And while it was happening, I was like, oh my God, Josh is just going to bury himself deeper and deeper and deeper. But he actually, he handled everything so poorly that everyone wants to keep him now, because they're like, if we keep this kid, no one's going to vote us out. Last night, pretty late, I think it was around like 3 a.m. Big Brother house time, maybe 2:30. Alex and Paul were saying, like, we need to keep this guy forever. The exact quote that Paul used was, we have to keep him in here as long as we can because it's effing hilarious and he will do all kinds of erratic stuff. And now they want him to win HOH. They want to throw the HOH to Josh, which is going to be, if that happens, it's going to be a golden week in the house. And so I think we have a minimum of like 2 to 3 weeks of Josh left, which is really great.
It is so funny that he's like coming at everybody for their integrity. And it's like, dude, you're the guy that grabbed the golden apple on the first night. Nobody else did that.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you know, we keep saying that that Paul is playing kind of similarly to Derek, but it a little sloppier, probably a lot sloppier. But it feels like Paul is like the chaotic Derek, where like he just thrives in the chaos. He's like, I would love for Josh to win an HOH. I don't think Derek would ever say that.
Chaos is a ladder.
Yes, it right? is. Game of Thrones. All right. Make sure you check out our Game of Thrones coverage. It's been very fun so far. All right. We also had Dominique and Christmas kind of going at it. Dominique is upset at Christmas, and Christmas is upset at Dominique for not giving her any straight answers. And there was an argument about, you know, were you talking about me while I was gone? So on and so forth. John, how did you feel about this?
Again, that was kind of weird, too, because they weren't really involved in the initial fight. And then the initial fight kind of died down. And then Dominique and Christmas were both like, I'm going to put some 2 cents into here. And it was a bummer because I think that it for all of the like Josh threw a lot of attention onto Jessica. And so for a moment, and I'm not saying I want Jessica to go home necessarily, but for a moment, it was like, oh, man, we might get some vote flips here because he's really blowing up Jessica's game. And it like that only helped Dominique. And then Dominique starts speaking up, her and Christmas start talking, and then that just made Dominique more ostracized and alienated. I don't think it was necessarily a great look for either of them, but you know, Dominique's the one that is possible to vote out this week, so it was certainly a worse look for her.
Yes, and we also now have, after this fight, Mark is kind of like, all right, I want to take Josh out. Josh, yeah, well, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, we want to keep Josh in. Mark is now seemingly gunning for Josh, which obviously I think Paul will have something to say about that because Paul wants Ramsey's out. But Josh has made an enemy in Mark, Alex.
Yeah. Who didn't see that coming? I mean, like, yeah. I mean, they're both emotional. This was never going to be a situation where they have a fight and then be like, oh, that was great. Let's work together on the down low. No, these are not those players.
Yes. And like Paul is still trying to ring that, hey, let's get Ramsey's out bell. Because he needs to get Ramsey's out. And this is what I'm saying. Like, this was an opportunity this week. Everybody was set to get out Ramsey's except for Alex. And he wasn't able to get Alex on board. And now every time he brings it up, he's like, well, we're still taking Ramsey's out next week, right? And people are like, yeah, I guess that's okay. But they're starting to develop their own targets. Alex and Jason are kind of thinking their own thing. Josh is definitely thinking his own thing. Even Mark now is thinking maybe Josh instead of Ramsey's. It's gonna get harder and harder to get this kid out. And he's just going to continue to be a thorn in Paul's side. I'm telling you, man, it's not good. It's not good, right, John?
It's really difficult because when you have a target, and especially when you're Paul and you've had all this power for the first several weeks of the game, whether it was engineered that way or not, it's hard to kind of be told no. But it's really risky, like, to push a name when it stops being a viable name. Like, you have to pick your battles because everyone loves Paul and it's the Paul show and everyone wants to work with Paul and no one wants to get rid of Paul. But if he keeps hammering on this Ramsey's thing when everyone else kind of starts to turn away from Ramsey's, then people are going to start being like, wow, Paul really isn't letting up on this Ramsey's thing. And then people could start possibly talking about him. So for Paul's game, like, he really needs to kind of, like, let it go for at least a little while. I know that we're always worried about the nerd making it to the end and winning, but maybe chill for a few weeks and let someone else take the fall for a while.
Yep. It's not good. It's not good, Paul. Paul also tries to reconcile with Dominique again yesterday after this whole blow up with the pickle juice. And he's basically saying, like, hey, you know, it's nothing personal. I'm just playing the game. Like, I'm sorry if you took things personally. and still gets nothing back. He's shut down by Dominique again, like, nah, no, I'm just not into this. And I think, you know, this is, again, further proof that he's lucky that she's not on the jury, and he should very much hope that she does not come back in the battle back, because he is just not going to win her back. He has lost her forever after the after talking about her god, essentially. Right, Alex?
Yep, definitely seems that way. She's not even really reciprocating conversation with him. I mean, it's just very brief, like, just kind of waiting for him to say something she disagrees with so she can correct him is basically the nature of conversation between them now.
Yeah.
There was a moment last night where I think it was Raven and Ramsey's, like, shrink wrapped Paul. They shrink wrapped what they thought was Paul's bed, but it was actually Jessica's bed, and it was supposed to be this silly prank. That's all irrelevant. But when Paul found out, they all ran into the bedroom because someone thought that Josh had done it, and it ended up kind of being like just this big nothing because Ramsey's told him, like, oh, I'm the one who wrapped the bed. It was going to be a funny joke. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is that Dominique was in the room when that happened. And then, like, they all come running in, and then they have like a 40-minute conversation. Like, they're like, oh, this bed's shrink wrapped. Oh, it's Jessica's bed. Oh, it's Paul's bed. Ha ha ha. And then, like, they all just hung out in there for like 45 minutes. And Dominique was just in the room, and nobody acknowledged her for even a single second. She didn't acknowledge them, and it was like super awkward. And like, she's just a total pariah in the house. And I don't know if she could make any headway over the next 2 days.
Yeah, honestly, even if she does come back in the battle back, it's hard to see her reintegrating in any way. She hasn't even really made any attempts. There's nothing holding her back. It's not like Jess and Cody, where it's obviously Cody is holding Jessica back, and once he leaves, then she'll have a shot. It really just feels like there's nothing here. And, you know, she has these firm beliefs, and she's sticking to those guns, but she's not able to connect with anyone else based on those beliefs. And she's not able to get people to understand where she's coming from. And when she's not able to get people to understand, she feels like, well, I'm not going to fight for it. I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to let the truth come out after the show. And if that's the attitude she has, even coming back in on a battle back, then unless she wins a competition, I think she'll just fizzle out again. Right, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see a scenario where, I mean, she doesn't seem to want to adapt, right? I mean, this game is all about adapting and trying to figure out, you know, like, there's got to be a way, you know, like trying to navigate difficult situations. And she just doesn't seem to really want to try to explore different channels. You know, the main thoroughfare isn't working so good, but that's the path we know, I think, at this point. It's yeah, it's tough. I mean, I definitely thought she was going to be capable of more as a player, and, you know, she very well may be. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, this group of people, this dynamic, these set of circumstances have just kind of conspired against her here.
Yes. All right. We do have a question in the chat. Matt David asks, how does it work if Dominique gets the temptation? I'm not entirely sure, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. If she gets the temptation and then uses it, it cancels an eviction, which means there wouldn't be four people to compete in the battle back. So it seems like maybe she wouldn't get it, but a lot of people seem to think that she would, because voting ends on Wednesday, which would be enough time for her to get it before the live eviction. Alex, do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I do have an opinion on it, and that CBS needs to, you know, get their stuff together. Like, this is terrible. What are you doing? It's such a mess. Like, if the most diehard fans don't understand the rules, what are we doing here? Like, I saw Evil Dick tweeting, like, he's not sure. If your former winners don't know how the rules are supposed to work, something is wrong. We've taken too many steps. We got to walk it back a little bit.
Yeah,
it's really frustrating too, because, like, the casuals, right? We always talk about what the casuals are going to do. What are they going to think? The people who only watch the show and then possibly go on and vote. And they've been advertising for 2 weeks now, this third power, the last secret power of the season. And on the show, during the little commercial bumpers, they name it. They say it's the Halting Hex. But on the show, on the TV, they don't say what it does. And so think about the average casual, if you want to call them that. Like, they may or may not go online and vote for it, but they're just going to pick their favorite person. They may not actually go and read the wall of text or try to find the wall of text that says what it does. And then they haven't said, you guys are saying, they haven't said when it will be used, when it will be given out. And so, you know, possibly Dominique could get it, but they may not give it until after the eviction. I know that there was some talk in the house, actually, because they've been wondering where the next temptation is, because it's been over a week now. And some of them were speculating, like, oh, would it be possible to be given out during the live episode? And I think one of them asked production, like, could it possibly happen during a live episode? And I think that someone in the house indicated that production may have said that it could possibly happen during a live episode. So they might pull whoever wins in. But yeah, like, then what, do we just have a 3-person buyback? That's possible. But then it's like they have this 3-night battle back competition plan where it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if it's just 3 people, I mean, we may as well just give it to Cody now, right?
Yeah, it's a weird situation because they said the house guests will have a chance to stop the battle back from happening, or at least stop the person who wins the battle back from coming into the house. And I assumed that would mean if somebody takes or refuses to take the halting hex, then the curse will not be implemented, and the curse would be that the person who wins the battle back comes into the house. But theoretically, if they give out the halting hex before the eviction, maybe they're able to stop it by stopping this eviction, which would cancel the battle back because they don't have enough people to compete. But that doesn't really make a lot of sense either. So I have to imagine that this is going to be given out to them after the eviction. So even if Dominique does get it, it's probably too little too late, right, Alex?
And that's the assumption that makes the most sense. But then, like, from a logistical standpoint, but then in terms of, like, a why are we doing this standpoint, like, is there a better way to disenfranchise your casual fans and voters than by, like, having them turn out and force for Dominique for a thing she can't even possibly win? Like, what are we doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before, like, you know, people voting for somebody that ultimately goes home and then the second place voter will get it. So, if I had to lay down a theory right now, it's the reason the voting ends Wednesday night is because they want to offer the halting hex before the battle back episode, because whether or not somebody accepts the halting hex is the thing that determines whether or not the battle back winner enters the house. So they're getting that in, but they probably are not able to stop that eviction from happening. It will be the next 4 evictions after that that they'll have a chance to stop. That's my guess. I don't know what the timeline exactly would be. Maybe they'll do the temptation, Den of Temptation, right after the live eviction, or maybe right before or something like that. Or maybe they'll even because they can't do it right before, right? Because then they would give it to Dominique and she would go right home if she wasn't able to use it. So it has to be offered right after the eviction, I have to imagine. So it's a weird timeline. We'll ultimately see how it works out. We'll be here to recap all the episodes and let you know what we think. But finally, let's talk about Josh. He's gung-ho about, I'm targeting the showmances. He offered a bunch of different ideas to Alex and Jason, like, I'll nominate Mark and Matt, or Elena and Matt, or Mark and Raven. He's all over the board, but he wants to target these 4 people, and he seems pretty dead set on it. And Alex and Jason are like, yeah, I'm good with that. You can target them. That's a great move for us to let you do that, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fine for them. It's like I was saying, like, Josh is kind of like this agent of chaos in this game, because he doesn't even know what he wants to do, and he's so easily manipulated, and he is definitely the kind of person that would torpedo their own game at the drop of a hat. So if he wants to go after somebody and it's not Alex and Jason, then it definitely benefits Alex and Jason. I don't know if that's what would end up happening, though. Part of the reason I want to see a Josh HOH is because he is so easily manipulated, and he has Christmas's ear, and he has Paul's ear, or rather they have his ear, and Alex and Jason. And I kind of am starting to think that those things might start, their incentives might start going in different ways. I don't know that Paul necessarily would want Matt to go home, for example. And so it'd be really interesting. What's great is that, like, even though Josh would kind of have no power and no say in his own HOH, I think that he would also have the greatest case of HOHitis that we've ever seen, even though he would have no actual control over, like, what's actually happening. But I think it'll be very, very fun. And I can see why. I don't think the one person, or the 2 people I don't think that he would put up at this point, are probably Alex and Paul. So I don't think that they have anything to fear, at least for 1 more week, if he wins.
A Josh HOH would just be back and forth constantly between a bunch of different options. Like, oh, I'm going to nominate Mark and Ramses. What? No, okay. It's going to be Jessica and Raven. It's going to be total chaos.
And then like 10 minutes before nominations, Kevin's going to go like, hey, Josh, I heard that Ramses called you a meatball. What are you going to do about it? And then it's like, and then it's all over.
Yeah. Yes. So Alex is also like, even though she's okay with Josh targeting these people, she's still not happy with Jessica. She still feels like, well, I'm still concerned about Jess. I feel like we need to take Jess out still. It's just like she's got blinders on with Jessica, right, Alex?
She's got cat ears on. Well, she doesn't, because they were hidden, and it was Jessica allegedly that did it. No, it wasn't. But that's the way we're rolling.
Yeah, so we'll just have to see. That is our update for today. Make sure you check out our update tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And we will also be live tomorrow after the episode for the veto episode of Big Brother. We will be with Scott Dennis, our Virgin King. It will be a great show. Great, great show. He will join us. He will. And then we'll be live after the Thursday episode and the Friday one, the special Friday episode. We'll talk all about the battle back. It'll be a lot of fun. Well, also make sure you check out, just last night, I released my new show, finally. It's called The Taran Show, and it's interviews. I did interviews. I got one with Rob Sesternino for the premiere episode. It was a lot of fun. I'm already getting a lot of great feedback on it. It was a really, really awesome conversation, and the next one will be with my fellow live feed correspondent, Brent Walgamont, who has lived a very interesting life. So make sure you check that out. Go to iTunes, search for The Taran Show. Make sure you subscribe. It's very, very helpful if you do. So thank you very much. Very, 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 very much for supporting.
Very, 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 very,
very, very, very, very, very, very, very much. It's been really, really great. The support has been amazing. And so, yes, thank you so much for checking that out. And, of course, make sure you check out But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary if you are interested in finding out all about the stuff that happened in Big Brother 2. So, yes, there it is. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.